You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, if you don't teach your kids or your children about money, the truth is somebody else will. And there's a good chance that somebody else will have no idea what they are talking about. Or worse, they'll even steer your kids in the wrong direction. So today, we'll be discussing this very important topic on how you can give your kids a head start and set them up to win the money game at any age. And we are joined by Zweli Mqhayi, founder and director of Career Moves, and Umlamuli Mbambo, who is the author of Winning the Money Game. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good evening, sir. Pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you so much. Umlamuli, welcome.
Good evening to you. Thank you. Good evening to you and your listeners. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. How was your day, Umlamuli?
It's hot, eh?
It's hot, no?
I feel like I'm in Durban. Like, Joburg is not usually this hot.
Yeah, I know, it's very, very hot. And Zweli, how was your day, though?
It was a hectic day, you know, a lot of work as we close off the year.
Yeah.
But a lot of excitement about, you know, the time of rest
and
self-care.
Yeah. Oh, love that. Love that. Self-care is very important. Are you going away by any chance?
I'm going to Eastern Cape, so my family from Eastern Cape, so usually I spend some time there with family, you know, a lot of chores as well, but it will be good to run away from the spending.
One thing you can be sure about, though, is Lalin, is that you're going to work. That's one thing you can be sure about, so there's not really a lot of rest.
Definitely.
We're talking about the money game, gentlemen. And once again, I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time this evening to talk to us. And I think it's a timely discussion because it's almost, like you said, to the end of the year, and we'll be going away to families and all that. But it's a very important topic that we are talking about, the money game. Can we even start there? Defining what's the meaning of the money game, Mlamuli?
Oh, okay. So what I meant by calling it the money game is many people are not really, don't even really talk about money. Unless it's a hip hop song kind of thing, but we don't really talk about it. And there seems to be this issue of it's taboo in a way. And it's that thing that's better left unsaid. And when something is left under the carpet or it's found to be intimidating, that thing would always overpower you. And I then thought of something that we actually do enjoy doing, something that we would enjoy talking about, and that is the concept of a game. So if you can take something that's intimidating, scary, almost taboo in a way, and give it and then repackage it as a game that's to be learned with certain rules and principles that can allow you to then win it, I think that is something that's a lot more palatable and a lot more appealing to everyone, not just kids, but even adults are found.
I want to come back to this taboo thing there, but I would like to hear from Zweli as well. The money game, eh? It's a game. It's a thing.
Yes, most definitely. You know, I like the book by Mr. Mbambo there. Because, you know, this concept of making money a game opens the door for a conversation out there. You know, there is no curriculum for financial literacy in school, but when we have such innovative ideas and ways of teaching, we allow the conversation to be spread through, you know, a general message and some takeaways that can really influence our financial behavior.
Okay, I like the concept, like you're saying as well, that maybe let's repackage this thing because it sounds like it's a taboo. Are there, Mlamuli, any reasons from your own experience as well that you know, we can table and put to the table as to why this thing is scary, it's a taboo? Is it that we've got this bad relationship with this thing called money that talking about it just sends us to our bedrooms and we don't want to come out?
Okay, so I'll cite several reasons. If we can go back into history, I always say that capital is the new cattle. And so there was a time where cattle represented wealth in Africa, and we had an amazing relationship with cattle. I remember Mtalumi, I think I was about 7 or 8. I had to go with the herd boys, and we'd go to Edipini at around 4:30 in the morning. I knew different cow parts, so we had an awesome relationship with cattle and cows, and we knew what was going on, and that was the form of our wealth, that and land. Now, then colonization happens, and all of a sudden you have to leave your land, and you have to pay taxes, and you have to go into this mine hole somewhere, and you get this thing called money, and you send it back home to cover taxes. But you can see the trauma of how this was introduced to us. That would, for me, that's the one thing. The other thing is, most Nguni tribes and most African tribes really speak to this thing of humility, and being humble about your success, and being, like, I could be humble about my cows, but you'd go to my kraal and you'd kind of see, Gutier, this man's got a lot of cows, but money has the thing of, hey, I can't just step up and say, hey, I've got 5 million. And it's sad because even when in a family there is someone who's won the money game, you'll find that there's hardly any conversations taking place. Ugutiputi noma antibani, please tell us how you achieve this. How do you have 10 properties so that the rest of the family can learn? Rather, it would just be Uti, oh my God, she's the rich aunt or the rich uncle, and there's a bit of a gap, and sometimes even hate. Uguti, why did that side of the family get all of this and this side didn't? And instead of us asking for a hand up, people keep asking for a handout. So there's a lot of dynamics that have led to this not just being a normal conversations in the table. And another thing is, as most African people, our first memory of money is not a good one. For example, my first memory of money is my mother shouting that I'm ungrateful and she works hard and it's her money. And studies show that 70 to 80% of people function from their first memory of money. So if, as a people, if you have bad first memories of money, then it sticks that you would continue that way. And once the first step is to identify, one of the things I really push is identify that first memory, because you cannot change with that which you don't know is there.
My memory of money is anginamali man. That's what you really no, it was tough back in the days. Zweli, on your side of the world, was it a taboo thing as well growing up?
Yes, it was very taboo. I grew up in a household where my parents were professionals, so I'd see the things like them buying things and so forth, but they always tried to instill discipline into me as to money's worked for. Do you understand? Especially because they come from very impoverished areas, and they come from poverty, and they've really pulled themselves out of those situations. So even if I had to get a PlayStation, it would be a thing of I write up a contract and say, this is how many times I'll wash the car in order to pay off this
Hectic.
device, which was a very good thing, I think, because a lot of our financial behaviors are set by a young age,
And just on that one then, how common is it then, from your own experience there, Zweli, for adults to barely know what they are doing, especially when it comes to, suppose, their money, financial planning, investments, and maybe even winning this game? How easy or how common is that we actually don't even know what we are doing as adults?
If I can relate this question to the education system,
Yeah.
if we pose it as why finance isn't taught in school, is that
Yes.
not all teachers are qualified. So essentially,
Ah.
not all South Africans are qualified,
Yeah.
you know, in understanding the money game,
Yeah.
in knowing how to invest, spend, borrow.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And then another thing is that there isn't much of an agreement as to what finance concepts should be taught. So not everybody knows that, you know, there's this thing called investing that is extremely important to achieve freedom, but the concept of saving is prioritized. You understand? Yeah. So from my view, it's just a lack of understanding and qualifications around the conversation of money.
Yeah, I think you just opened a can of worms, by the way, on this issue of from taking it from the schools there, because I want to come back to it. But your view, Mlamuli?
So, 77% of working South Africans don't have money by month end or by their payday. So that, in summary, says 77% of people are overspending. And then over 11 million South Africans are said to be over indebted. So that means you're not managing your debt thing professionally. And how you judge whether someone has won the money game is, have they come to a place of financial independence, also known as retirement? And we tend to see retirement as an age issue when actually it's an affordability issue. Trust fund babies are literally born retired. They don't have to work a day in their life, type of thing. So in terms of retirement, 94% of South Africans cannot afford to retire. And it's not just a South African issue. 95% of people globally that work cannot afford to retire, because the issue is not how much money you make. No matter what, how much money you make, if you don't know how to manage it, how to instruct it, how to master it, then the money will always run out. We see this with the I Blew It shows. We see it with lottery winners. We see it with kids that get inherited, the inherits thing. So if you don't have the capability or the mindset or the strategies to manage X amount of money, even if it comes, it will flow away for you, because it does state that a fool and his money are soon parted.
95% of the world can't retire. Yeah, that's really scary there. I love this day. I should have been a trust fund baby, Mlamuli. I mean, you're saying they are born retired already. Hey, these people. It's
Yeah, that's
nice,
why they
man.
save rhinos and, you know, giraffes. It's a good thing, but I'm saying you can afford to, you know.
Yeah, no, I wish I was. Yeah. I was actually listening to a clip, I think it was on social media. Perhaps maybe you also might have said, no, it was actually on LinkedIn as well. Someone was saying, hey, there are certain careers that you should choose them and choose very carefully. Unless you've got a passion and you've got a trust fund somewhere, there are certain careers, stay away from it. But they take forever for them to start paying you. You know, so but if you are after money, just get to these ones, you know, the CAs, and then you quickly make money there, you know. But if you're not a trust fund baby, don't go into these other ones, which reminds me of that. Zoella, I wanted to go back to finance, teaching finance, I suppose, at schools. Sure. Is it a case of we don't have the will to do it? Because I think this concept has been, you know, said, we've talked about the importance of it can be seen even at high school. Even when people get their first job, the first thing they do is get into debt or whatever the case may be. So it clearly says there's a foundational thing that we are not doing. And it's been years we've been talking about this thing. Is it because we don't want to?
I don't think it's because we don't want to. I mean, government has its own, you know, programs that, you know, they allow people like, for instance, Mr. Mbambo here to, you know, share their work. However, you know, financial literacy is is made to be the responsibility of the parent, because it is not in our schools, you know. The schools teach you the basics, from the numerical skills to just general literacy about money, which is recognizing them and knowing the value of different coins, but that's through mathematics, you understand. So there's no like in-depth understanding and teaching, and that comes from the fact that, you know, maybe even the teachers are in debt. So how will they feel comfortable, you know, teaching such practices?
Sure. I mean, I like what you're saying, because then it helps us understand why we've been solving for X all these years, but we just didn't understand where we are going with this X thing, because Gunin is solver for X. Except someone was saying that, you know, Elon Musk helped us understand why we've been solving for X all these years is so that he can build a platform like X for himself, which makes sense. Let's look at principles as we move on to this one. Let's look at the principles that you believe, and from your own experience, we should be, teaching. Is it a case of it should be contextualized on the basis of the brackets that people in? You know, I've got this thing, middle class, lower class, LSMs, and all those sort of stuff. Because surely there's certain concepts that might just fly over someone who might not necessarily understand or is in that context. How do we deal with teaching these principles?
Okay. So I think for me, and I think Zweli touched on it, a lot of the finance teaching is done from a math perspective. You know, like if you save only 100 rand a month, in 20 years you'd have A, B, C, D, right? And that's all good and well. But from what I found in doing the workshop and the coaching for years now, is it's more similar to gym than it is to a scientific endeavor. So, for example, if I want a six pack by summer, I'm quite aware of the process. It's eat a certain diet and go to gym. It's the principles of consistency and the discipline, right? So unfortunately, a lot of the time, the industry focuses on it's 10 abs without dealing with the underlying belief system, the underlying discipline issues, and the underlying real why of achieving this thing. Because one of the reasons I really speak about getting it into schools and have had other sponsors getting into schools is because we right now as a country, we really, really want to solve youth unemployment because it's horridly high. But we don't see something usually that youth unemployment is not necessarily caused because of a lack of jobs. It's caused because a lack of youth that are able to generate an income, because they don't understand how money flows besides having a job. And part of financial education, the pro sometimes financial education is broken down from a place of don't have the expensive latte, have the cheap coffee. That's a side of it, yes, but a much more important side that I choose to focus on is how can you increase your means, right? And what I've seen is when you speak to the kids and you're saying to them they must be entrepreneurs, that sounds like a far more complicated conversation compared to how can you make 500 rand this week? How can you make 1,000 rand this week? And then obviously once you've learned that, then you step up and you learn how to make 2,000 rand, et cetera, et cetera. So I think if we were to see the finance thing as something that's critical to the economy and someone's economic livelihood, there might be a stronger will to achieving it.
I love that. I love that. Someone's saying, I wish I was a trust fund baby. And I wish. You know, it would be nice to be a trust fund baby as well. Zweli, your thoughts there. What are those principles?
Sorry, if you can repeat the question.
So what are those principles that we should be teaching? I suppose young people, and I'm thinking about it in terms of, and I could be wrong, right? I'm thinking about it in terms of maybe we need to contextualize this thing, right? We need to contextualize it. And I love what Mlamuli is saying, to say maybe there's a way we could repackage it, you know. How can I make 500 rands this week instead of saying start a business and be an entrepreneur? That sounds like, ooh, I need a textbook, I need to go to school, I need an MBA, I need this to understand that. But if you say to someone, maybe let's make 500 the next week, might be easier to understand in terms of the principles. So I really love that. But I was here on your side as well. How do we even start? What are these principles? Is there a thing, you know, such as we need to package this thing in such a way that people at different brackets understand it?
I think the key words or the key phrase is money management.
Yeah.
So we need to make people and kids, you know, understand what, number one, what does money look like?
Yeah.
You know, if we're just starting from the basics.
Yeah.
Where does money come from?
Mm.
You know, what do we use money for?
Mm.
And how can we use it? How can we use money wisely? And how do we get value for money?
Mm.
You know? And ways that we can do this is by talking about it with people or our children,
yeah,
through role modeling, because a lot of it is role modeling. I mean, the reason that we are struggling as a country with our financial literacy is because, if we're being frank, you know, we don't have the best role models to look up to when it comes to finance. You know, especially as a black community, the first thing we want to do is buy a house and a car we can't afford,
yeah,
which is a cycle that keeps repeating, even though, like Mr. Mbambo said, we know about these things, we still fall into these patterns.
Mm.
And, you know, this comes from our traumas and the past and so forth.
But, yeah.
That's another topic. And also, we can teach kids or people this by, you know, playing games about money. You know, even our Monopoly is a very useful tool. And practicing, you know, financial literacy and behaviors is a habit.
Mm.
A habit is something that we form by repeating a certain behavior over and over and over again. Yeah.
That's amazing. How far back do we go, Mlamuli? Do you start at 6? Do you start at 7? Is 13 a little bit too early, too late?
That's a very good question. So I think we'd be very surprised at how early kids can start picking up things.
Yeah.
So I would say as soon as there's a recollection of, you know, of this is value in exchange of something, because that's essentially what money is. It's a value exchange. So at that age, we can start there. But just to add to something that you had asked earlier, so what are the positioning and that I chose to go with in the book was to have wealthy grandparents who are having a conversation about how they achieved their financial success with their grandson.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually thought that these were my real grandparents.
Yeah.
In terms of how it was written. And they were saying that, thank you so much for gifting me surrogate wealthy grandparents.
Yeah, love it.
You know, because think of all the beautiful things that we learned. For example, even me writing the book is my grandmother who, it wasn't load shedding. There just wasn't ugesi in Twalume at the time.
Mm.
So we'd sleep early and she would do those stories. And in the stories that she would tell, there were lessons embedded.
Mm.
And years later, when I then write a book, I did not write it with my finance hat, although I've got the whole degree in finance and stuff. But I wrote it from the storytelling elements of what I learned from my grandmother.
And it lends, right? Because we, as you said, as Africans, we are used to sitting around the fire. It's still called the bonfire or something fire, but something like that, yeah.
Where we're trying to be fancy. Only, you know, it's a fire.
Pella, these days we must you know, accommodate these trust fund babies, you know. They sit around the bonfire. Okay, umlilo, okay. Not wale a group layer, but umlilo, you know. So I love that because we used to sit around, right? There was no electricity, none of these things, and we'd be told stories and, you know, wasuga sugela and all. And it kind of lands when it comes and it's packaged in that way. Maybe we can better understand it. But I still want to get to this point as we draw towards a conclusion, to say, somewhere it's not landing, Mlamuhle and Zweli, or is it just me?
In terms of the financial literacy?
I mean, we still talk about the issue of over indebtedness. I mean, Mlamuhle just gave us scary statistics there, right? But it seems like the more we go into these things, the more we say them, the more we are finding ourselves in the same problems as well. Is it not lending, or is it learned behavior that really takes time to turn the wheel around?
I think also when it came to your question about when can we start teaching kids about money, I think most of the time we leave it until kids are adults, you know.
Yeah.
That's when perhaps most of the time, maybe in their teens, they start getting an allowance.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in this day and age, social media is kind of promoting this consumption culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's very destructive for us. So I think, what we need to understand is that by age 3 to 5, kids can already make choices and reason.
Mm.
Understand? By age 5, kids are receptive to messages about value. So what is the value of money? And then by age 6, kids start to understand basic maths and are able to comprehend the consequences to their actions.
Mm.
By age 7, financial habits are formed. They are not forming. They are formed. So a lot of the times the foundation is missed and we leave things till too late.
Mm.
Even myself, I mean, I started my business in 2021. I did odd jobs before the time, but I had nothing from that time to contribute towards what I was planning. I think we just lack planning for the future, just, you know, as a people, you know, we try to satisfy our immediate needs and wants without kind of, you know, diving into delayed gratification as a behavior.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Comment saying, "Aguna bonfire in my car, it's just umlilo." See, guys, what you just did right there. No, guys, you must join us from the burbs, you know, and we do bonfires. so you can go.
Just to share on that question, so something that I've really unpacked in the coaching, because I also do this as coaching sessions.
Yeah.
A critical thing that I think is affecting a lot of us, especially, you know, professionals and those of us that have access to credit.
Yeah.
It's I usually ask the question of what validates you? What is that you're trying to validate? Because if a car is just a car, you'll get any car to move from point A to point B. There was a time in my life I was called Ubutiwe GTI.
Yeah.
You know, and that validated me. It wasn't just a car.
Yeah.
You know, and you would notice that those that come from, you know, trust fund don'ts, they typically don't have to validate themselves with physical items.
Yeah.
Because something intrinsically and spiritually and internally has been sorted. I don't have to wear a certain brand to validate that I'm worthy of being in this place. I don't have to drink a certain drink to validate that I'm in this place. And I always say that the day your validation can come from God and can come from the Spirit, you don't no longer need materialistic things to validate and prove that you are worthy. You are a child of God. You are born of God. And it's very sad, because trying to close an emotional or spiritual gap with physical items never works. It's temporary.
If I can add, you know, I love what you're saying, because, you know, most of the time, you know, even as Black kids, we feel loved when we're given gifts.
Yeah.
So when it comes to now starting to earn your own money, you kind of buy and consume things because, you know, this is the way you understand love, you know. And, you know, it's a very negative misconception that sets us back with.
I think I was about to land this one, but I think you raised something that's very important there, to say this pop culture that we have, you know, maybe it's born of social media, and what we see on social media. You know, people will say that what you see on social media is not always the truth. But be that as it may, there's this thing, you know, you want to arrive, like you said, to put to a GTI, you know. You want to arrive, and now that you're figuring, and we then get into this thing. It's almost like it becomes a thing every week. Meleng vele, meleng bonagal, meleng fi, and our validation then becomes out of, you know, I suppose the outward and not really from the inside. How do we help young people going forward? What should they do? We realize now, our validations perhaps are wrong. Maybe let's start with you as well to say, how do we move forward here from the issues of money?
I think that knowledge is power. Just speaking about money and answering the tough questions makes your kids feel safe, secure, and cared for. So show your kids how you are planning for the future instead of being scared as to say, why are we borrowing money from this family or why are we eating bap every day? You understand? So knowledge is power. And, you know, it all starts with emulating these behaviors, not just for a person as a parent, but even, you know, you as a young person starting up. The minute you can start, you know, being a role model to others, we create an impact in general. You know, we have kids who spend recklessly because they're sensation seeking. We have kids who feel rewarded by saving, but that's because they were taught well. And then we have those who are, you know, tight-fisted because they're distressed by spending because of how they've seen their parents go through so much. So we kind of need to hold hands in this and create a better life for all of ourselves.
Mlamuli?
So I would say that looking rich is loud.
Sure.
But building wealth whispers. And, you know, and as parents, I think we need to teach our kids how to generate value because ultimately money follows value. And then we need to teach our kids that intrinsically, as a human being, they have value. They don't need trinkets. They don't need brands and certain things. I'm not saying don't wear nice things, but that's just an add-on. It's not that now that I'm wearing a certain brand, I am worthy of certain things. So let's give our kids love from a place of genuinely loving them for them and letting them know that God loves them for who they are, not what they bring. And I think we would have a different generation.
Looking rich is loud. Mzeli, career moves, how can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, which is at CareerMoves. You can also go on my website if you just want to look for information about psychometric assessments and education just in general, which is www.careermoves.co.za.
Mlamuli?
Mlamuli Mbambo, M-B-A-M-B-O, on Instagram. And www.moneyfundi, that's money, F-U-N-D-I, fundi.org.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Oh, and the book book is available at bookstores. It's called Winning the Money Game, A Guide to Financial Wellbeing.
Fantastic.
Exclusive book, bargain books, etc.
Fantastic. I think this is part one, gentlemen. We still need a part two where we unpack some of the stuff. The biggest enemy is always time. But thank you so much. I think it was a beautiful conversation. And may God continue to bless the work that you guys do individually and corporately as well. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.